Welcome to Insider Profiles. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. Insider Profiles are brought to you by CMPNet, the technology network. The latest news and features about computers, computing, the internet, and high-tech finance. You can find it at www.cmpnet.com.
I fear for the day where we conclude that there isn't anything effective that we can do to restore and maintain competition short of breaking Microsoft up entirely.
Gary Reback is a Palo Alto attorney, but in another sense, he's Ahab and he has his own personal Moby Dick. The white whale in this story is Microsoft. Gary Reback represents an anonymous consortium of companies that are concerned about Microsoft competitive practices. He's widely believed to be the impetus behind both the unsuccessful Federal Trade Commission investigation of Microsoft and the two recent Department of Justice moves. We recently asked Reback what he hopes for from the government.
I hope for some timely and effective relief. And every day that goes by in these markets in which we don't intervene, it becomes more difficult to restore competition. I fear for the day that may come in this calendar year where we conclude that there isn't anything effective that we can do to restore and maintain competition short of breaking Microsoft up entirely or regulating them. There still may be room, though, to intervene in a meaningful way, and I know the government's thinking hard about that. I hope there still is that opportunity. Otherwise, we're going to have to go to a more draconian remedy.
In any sense, do you think it's possible that the opposition to Microsoft is sour grapes from losing competitors?
I really don't see it that way. You have to remember that the opposition to Microsoft consists of a number of enormously successful companies, in addition to those that Microsoft has run out of business through illegal tactics. It includes consumer groups. It includes powerful and successful United States senators. It really spans the gamut. It includes journalists, for example. It's hard to imagine that sour grapes animate all of those people. I think more realistically, there is a great concern on the part of people from every part of the political spectrum that this single entity is going to end up dominating too much of our lives for us to feel comfortable in a free society.
Do you have any particular expectations for the upcoming Senate hearings?
I'm not sure. I really fear that the hearings aren't going to produce a lot more light than we have now. I don't think that that mechanism may be the best mechanism for getting to the kinds of problems we have here. Now, I could well turn out to be wrong, and I hope I am wrong in that regard. Certainly, it is good that senators have considered this issue important enough to invite the participants to appear before them in the public eye. That itself is a tremendous step and an important step. But as to whether we'll know more after people are finished testifying than we know now, I'm really not sure about that.
Are you a follower of the Senate Judiciary Committee? Do you have any sense of philosophically which way that committee leans at this point?
I don't have a clear sense of that. I do know that although people may consider this somewhat strange, from the beginning, conservatives were our strongest supporters. Hard to imagine, but I've really never completely understood why, because I try to stay more apolitical myself. But I think conservatives have this inherent fear of big government, and they have an even greater fear once they understand the power that might reside in a single individual whom they never even got a chance to elect, much less throw out of office. I think that they more readily resonate with our problem. In addition, they're deeply concerned about regulation and would much prefer an open and competitive marketplace over one that's regulated, and they think that this marketplace is likely to be regulated unless our antitrust laws are effectively enforced.
Help me understand the difference between fierce competition and fair competition. Where is the line, and do you find it relatively easy to draw?
I don't know that there's a line between fierce competition and fair competition. There's certainly a line between legal competition and illegal practices, and that line has been well established for a very long time under our laws. We have antitrust laws that, through the case law through charges brought by the government in other cases, we have a pretty good idea of what's legal and what's not. Issues have been up to the Supreme Court several times. So I think anyone who wants to know the answer to that question, it's pretty knowable. Now, Microsoft has been accused twice now by the government, by the federal government, of engaging in illegal practices. The first time was in 1994, and they copped a plea. They pled no contest. They didn't say we didn't do it. They said we'll just cop a plea. The government has subsequently come back in the past year and said you are still violating the law, and you are violating the agreement that you made not to violate the law. And that's what's precipitating everything that you're seeing now.
It is, in fact, illegal to use your power in one market to force sales of a different product. Isn't that one of the issues that you have with Microsoft?
The tying that Microsoft has engaged in is even more pernicious than the type that you're familiar with. In a normal tying case, where the tying is illegal, what somebody's trying to do is use an existing market position to leverage into a new market by not letting someone buy products individually, by forcing on the purchaser products that he or she really doesn't want. In this case, Microsoft is engaging in that behavior, but they're doing it for the purpose of maintaining and enhancing their existing monopoly. The reason they want to tie the Internet Explorer into Windows is not because they're going to make a lot of money off of Explorers. It's because Netscape's product would otherwise constitute a competitive threat to Windows. Application writers would write to Netscape's communicator product that would undermine Microsoft's monopoly. So the tying that you're familiar with, that's illegal, but the worst form of tying is tying that not only extends forward, but also prevents the forces of the free market from eroding somebody's existing monopoly. That's the tying that Microsoft is accused of here.
An issue that I've always had trouble with, and I suspect a lot of lay people do, is that our antitrust laws don't make a monopoly illegal. They make an illegally obtained or illegally maintained monopoly illegal.
There's a lot of debate about what we should do about monopolies. In some contexts, we've decided that we would regulate monopolies because when the market forces something to be a monopoly, we've concluded that we're not getting the benefits of the free market, and the only way to maintain fair prices and innovation in those markets is to have regulation. That's not a preferred approach. In other cases, we decide that when someone has a monopoly, even if they got it fairly and appropriately, in this case, everybody's accused Microsoft of exactly the opposite, but that when someone has a monopoly, at that point, our economic system is not working properly. And therefore, when I was an antitrust student in law school, Bill Baxter, who became head of the antitrust division under the Reagan administration, suggested that the remedy for that ought to be the ticker tape parade remedy, that when someone achieved a monopoly, we would have a ticker tape parade for them down Wall Street, and at the end of the parade, we'd break up their company. So having said all that, generally speaking, let's start from the proposition that just having monopoly, maybe that's okay, but illegally maintaining the monopoly by, for example, tying in the way that you've described, or by withholding information from competitors so that they can make competing products or complementary products, those kinds of practices are most certainly illegal and prohibited under our law.
Do you feel vindicated or rewarded by the turn of events of the last 6 months? For a long time, if I may say, you sounded like a voice in the wilderness. I think mainstream opinion is starting to come around to some of the issues that you've been raising for years that I can recall.
Well, on one hand, I was gratified last weekend when I picked up the newspaper and I saw that Doonesbury had, in three panels of cartoon, described a problem that I'd been searching for a way to describe to lay people for a very long time. And I'm told that evening on The Simpsons that they had a segment that portrayed essentially the same problem of somebody trying to do business in competition with Bill Gates. I don't know that I feel particularly vindicated. I feel that the problem has now struck a chord in the public consciousness as Microsoft has begun to expand beyond the traditional traditional software industry, into journalism and into banking and into all kinds of businesses, and people begin to feel, begin to understand the problems better than they've understood them before. Personally, I think, you know, there are plenty of days when I think we still have a long way to go. Today is such a day. I don't know that we're any nearer a solution than we were. It's just that I think more people have begun to understand and identify the problem.
You've been listening to Insider Profile. Insider Profile is brought to you by CMPNet, the technology network. The latest news and features about computers, computing, the internet, and high-tech finance. Find it at www.cmpnet.com. I'm your host, Paul Schindler. We'll be back next week with another Insider Profile.